Hey now, I'm your illustrious host, Brett, and this is A Round of Gwent With, and today's guest is Baby Yozus, or BJ, if you're into the whole brevity thing. A man of many talents and endeavors, you can find him regularly streaming on Twitch, usually clad in a sultry robe, and on Twitter where his personality is on full display. Make sure to check the notes below and follow him there. I promise you, he is one of a kind. So I'm here with Baby Yozus. How you doing today?
Yo, hello, everyone that is watching or listening. Yeah, I'm doing all right. I shouldn't be complaining.
I mean, you're sitting there in a bathrobe. What's there to complain about?
Exactly. I'm sitting here in a pink bathrobe, you know, as most people know from my streams. And yeah, it's very comfy. So
what's the origin of the bathrobe? How did that come to be? Because you're right, it's like you said when we first got in, you're like, I hope it's okay you're in the bathrobe. I'm like, you better be in the bathrobe. So how did that come to pass?
I have no idea, actually. Like, I was thinking about what kind of rewards I should get for my channel points on my streams, and I wanted it to be something unique, you know, not like something that other streamers already have. And I had this pink bathrobe hanging around, and I was like, yeah, I should just wear that on stream. Like, that could be fun. That could be entertaining, you know? And now people are saying their channel points, and they really want to unlock it every stream.
That's something too, and you're a regular streamer. I just do it once a week. And that's one thing I've tried to do also, was get something unique with the channel points, make it very entertaining. And I've had like a spin a wheel of fun. I've always done like the workout stuff with the push-ups, do stuff in accents. And so another thing you have, if I remember correctly, is you read a poem in a sexy voice.
No. I mean, it's an option, right? So yeah. I started out with regular voice. Just I'm reading a poem to someone that has the channel points and unlocks it. And then there was a viewer of mine, a good friend of mine as well, Barbara Crane, and she said that you should do it in a sexy voice for this person. I was like, okay, I can do that. So yeah, I just played along with it, and then I realized I should make it a reward.
All right, take us through a normal, generic, regular day for you.
Yeah. So right now, I mean, usually I had like a job. I had ended in June 1. So right now I don't have a job, but usually I had like a job, and then I came home, I had food, and then I started streaming, and now it's basically me looking for a job, applying for jobs, going to job interviews, having conversations through phone, or I go to the location itself with my agencies. Then I come home, and then I, like I said, have food and start streaming. And that's during the week. In the weekend, I usually don't stream, and I just take a more relaxed approach, maybe play some games off stream, like games that I don't stream. For example, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. I saw you tweet about it as well.
Yeah, and so how far along are you in the game?
Act 2. I started with Act 2.
You're in Act 2? Okay. That game is fascinating to me on several levels, because when it was first announced, and it was like, oh, okay, because even though, you know, I have a degree in history, that's like saying you like sports. You know, there's going to be different ones. Like, oh, I coach basketball. What do you know about lacrosse? Well, nothing. And so my main thing is medieval Europe history, European history. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about like the Japanese history and the samurais at all. So when that was announced, I was like, oh, okay, good. This could be really fun. And then when the game was released, some of the reviews I saw was like, it's gorgeous. It's fun to play, but it's very much a generic kind of open world where you do all this, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to get it. But then I saw people playing it. I'm like, screw it. I'll just get it. Even though it's something in that sense that we've played time and time again, I absolutely loved the game. And I think because it was so laid back. So what are your impressions with it?
Yeah, so like the thing you said, right, that some people were complaining about it. And because it uses other elements from other games, like I can see some Assassin's Creed gameplay where you climb the mountains or climb those buildings. You have like some kind of quest that you can also play in like the Witcher game. So it uses a lot of those elements, but those elements are really good.
The Uncharted rope to go through. Yeah,
I've never played Uncharted, but
okay,
that's the thing, right?
Yeah,
but it combines all these different elements, and then it has its own unique style with like samurais. It's still, for example, I really enjoyed because you can explore so much. You have all these different locations, all these different things that you can look for. Like you have these fox dens.
Which, you know, I like that, right? Foxes. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, this is game of the year right here.
Yeah, like exactly. Like you have so much things to explore in the game without even progressing in the main story. So what I've been doing is just grinding some items and doing all these side quests. And then I was like, oh yeah, wait, I should also play the main story. I forgot to do that. And then yeah, I progress in the story and then, you know, it gets even better.
See, that's what kind of, I think that's why I liked it, was outside of the main story, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Like I generally just have it on. I don't like not having any sound. Like I have to have a TV on in the background, or I'll have an earbud in and I'll have a podcast. Even if I'm not really listening to it, I don't like silence. And that's probably a whole other thing to go into. And so what I would do with Ghost of Tsushima, and what I loved it and what I love other games about it, and I have not been able to recreate this with Spider-Man, was I just pour a drink, I, you know, submerge into the couch. And like you said there, I just go explore. I do the fox dens. I do all the side quests where I don't need the audio per se. I'll have it kind of on, but I don't need to hear what people are saying, or I don't even want to hear what people are saying. I just have something listening and it's just very chill. And to me, that's something I didn't realize I really needed, probably because, you know, the COVID time and all that.
Yeah. I mean, with the game, it's like, I don't feel like there is a lot of sound. So you're correct. Like you can have like a stream on, you can listen to a podcast. I do like to immerse into the game and like, you know, do listen to what people say and what they have to say. But yeah, that's the thing. Like I do miss sometimes I do miss it when there's like complete silence in the game. I'm like, shouldn't be like some kind of music playing, but I suppose that's also in a way what they meant to do with the game.
Yeah,
because maybe that's how it all worked back then with like Sunrise. They're more quiet, maybe. I don't know, and when they say something, it actually matters.
That's kind of why I like, and maybe that's kind of what was missing from Spider-Man that I liked in Ghost of Tsushima. That's kind of like The Witcher in that sense, where it's almost this Western feel where you're on a horse and you go town to town. And like I said, when you're in the countryside in the fields, there really isn't a lot of noise. Just that ambient sound or whatever ambient music they might have. And then just the birds and anything like that. But that was something I didn't know I wanted until playing this game. And I don't know, it's supposed to be like the last one, I guess, that they're supposed to make like it. And then you have, you know, Cyberpunk's coming out, and Cyberpunk, who the hell knows what that's going to be. This, the in-depth, everything that I've seen from it just seems it's going to be almost overwhelming. Have you looked into that game any?
Yeah, I have. I watched the live streams on Twitch from CD Projekt Red. And like, if you compare that game to Ghost of Tsushima, Ghost of Tsushima is like a small pond, you know, and then you have Cyberpunk, which is like, you know, some big city, lots of crowds and sounds and such. So yeah, I personally think the game looks really good. The story looks interesting to me, with all these different characters that you can meet and have to deal with. And they also said that your decisions, you know, do matter. Story-wise, it can change the world plot. But yeah, I'm definitely looking into it, even though it's like a shooter. Like I used to play Call of Duty a lot, but when it comes to story games, I usually don't play shooting story games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The last one was Wolfenstein was one, right? I didn't play that. Yeah,
I've also not played that game.
Yeah, I don't know how many are like that. But yeah, when that game comes out, it's got the time. Oh, it's going to be so much time. Okay, so we have collaborated together before with your team, Bandit Game.
Yes.
So how did you come about in collaboration or as a part of their team?
I mean, Bandit Pig was an all-time pure of my streams. And there was a fellow streamer that joked him, hey, you should make a team. Because he had like this clan tag in my Discord, which said the Bandit Gang. And it was nothing official, like it was just for the memes. And then that streamer said, like, you should actually do it. And he was like, okay, I'm determined to actually make it work. So he made it work, and then Team Rankstar was falling apart. And he and my other buddy, Driftbling, who also joined Bandit Gang when Bandit Pick started all out, they asked me, dude, you should join, even though you don't enjoy Gwent that much. We don't mind, like, we give you the time, eventually maybe you will, you know, really like it again, and you know, we are cool. And then I was like, yeah, sure, I can join my buddies, because I never joined a team where I already had friends with. So now I actually joined a team. You know, I'm friends with those guys. Like, it should be fun. So that's why I joined them. It was like January, February this year.
So you weren't enjoying Gwent at that time?
Not as much. No, I was like on a break.
I think we, I think at a time, I don't even remember what was happening in January, February at all. But yeah, I'm assuming you're enjoying it a little more now.
Yeah. I am enjoying it more because of the expansion that released. I've been trying everything out. The only thing is now the meta is not too enjoyable. So I kind of lost my enjoyment a little bit, but I have high hopes for the balance patch that is coming next week.
Yeah, we're actually recording this, I think, a couple days
before it comes out, right?
Yeah, so recording this a couple days before it comes out. So by the time people hear this, it'll be probably way into whenever that Bouch Pass comes out. So they might be doing that and be like, ugh, maybe there wasn't. But yeah, combined with that and the Journey coming out, I don't know. They got a lot on their plate, and I guess we'll see how they balance it. Not to be punny right there, but I guess how they balance all that coming out. So what is something that people don't know about you, or something interesting about you?
Yeah. So 4 years ago, I dated a musician. And, you know, when I had a relationship with her, I, you know, made some photographs of her, you know, what you should do as a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And she used it as one of her album covers. So if you look up Romantic Cancer by Globelamp on Spotify, you can see the photograph that I made.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you took the picture?
Yeah, so I just took pictures with my Polaroid camera.
Okay.
And I sent some of them to her, and she ended up using it, even though we had no relationship anymore. She ended up using it for her album cover.
Oh, wow. I guess y'all left on good terms then.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did leave on good terms.
Okay. Yeah,
that's for sure.
Is photography something you're like into?
It's not something that I do every day, but like I bought this Polaroid camera because from an old German friend of mine for like €5. And I just wanted to try it out, and I really enjoyed the photographs that it makes. So I think it was a good boy.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any like projects or stuff that you kind of do in your spare time, or like hobbies like that you kind of work on or do?
Yeah. I mean, not photographic related.
Yeah. Just mean like anything.
Yeah. So I have the thing with me is that I have lots of interests in many things. So for example, photography, I'm interested in photography, but, I don't pursue it that much as I could. Like I bought like a Nikon camera, and then I don't even like it. But I have that with many things. For example, I used to do slacklining. I don't know if you know that slackline.
No, what is that?
So it's like a cord between two trees.
Okay, I think here it's called like zip lining. I think that's kind of what we call zip lining. Okay.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like a trampoline. The cord is like a trampoline because it has the bouncing.
You
can do it. It's not just a cord where you
okay, over, where you just you can go. Also okay.
Make use of the slack line, and then make jumps on it and like do tricks. Like, for example, you have the you have a trick called butt bounce. So you drop yourself on your butt,
yeah,
and then you jump up and then you land on your feet on the court.
Okay.
And if you can do that really well, then you keep your balance. If you don't, then you fall on the ground, of course. But
yeah,
it's really cool. I used to do that a lot, but I stopped doing that because most people of the community that I had with slacklining, they left my hometown, so I had nobody to do it with, and then I just lost interest. But I still have it laying around. Other hobbies that are more something that I do regularly is like making music. So I love to play the guitar. I love to write songs and sing those songs. So yeah, eventually I have this idea to create like an album or something and like record it in some studio and like release it on Spotify or something.
Like, is it gonna be like singing as well, or is it instrumental?
Yeah, singing and playing the guitar. Okay. Then like maybe
you sing?
Yeah, I sing and I play guitar.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I want to sing my own songs, you know. Like
yeah,
if I write a song, I want to sing it as well. And I usually sing for like friends and family or loved ones. But
how long have you played or been playing?
I was like 15 years old.
Okay.
And I'm now 24, almost 25. So it's been a long time. But I always have these periods of time where I'm like really motivated.
Yeah.
And then I have periods of time where I just don't even touch it. And that's with many, many things, with many hobbies.
I think that's a lot of people. I'm that way with writing. Like, I want to write, you know, if I could snap my fingers and it'd be, well, that kind of came out texting, then I say fingers. If I could snap my fingers and like do anything for a living or not have to worry about money, like it would be writing. I would write. And that would be kind of like fiction in that sense. So like, that's something, I don't know. I guess as far as musical instrument goes, I really wish I would have stayed with it. My mom's had me start playing the piano when I was, I think, about 5. And I played that from like 5 or 6, but then it got into conflict with baseball. And so I kind of stopped playing that there. And I played the violin and the fiddle throughout like junior high, and then played a little bit after. And then like the mandolin is the same. As you can play the violin, you can play the mandolin because it's the same like finger, same chords and all that. But yeah, musical instrument is something I really, really, really wish I would have stuck with that. Cause I think it's a different kind of release, a creative release, I guess. It's different than like writing or doing anything like that. There's something about like making music out of like a piece of wood or something like that, that I think is pretty special.
I mean, yeah, I can agree with that logic. But like, that is the thing, right? You only have so many hours in the day. So you have to make decisions or like sacrifice other things to be able to do the other things that you want to do as well. So yeah, if you had to choose basketball over like playing an instrument, yeah, it does suck because you leave something that you also like to do, but it's never too late. You know, you can always try to pick it up, but then, you know, it comes back to the time thingy again. Like, you need time for it.
Yeah, and then you do things like start a new podcast like this and say, oh, I don't have time. So yeah, and that's kind of what I've always been. I've always been that jack of all trades thing where if I would have just liked one thing and been obsessed with it, you know, I'd probably be pretty good at it. But I've always liked different things. I think that goes back to even like the educational background where it's like liberal arts. And it was take some of this, some of this, some of this. And if I get too in on one thing, I think I'll probably get bored with it.
I mean, yeah, I can relate with you very much. And that's also with Gwent, you know, like playing it every day on stream. Eventually, you just don't want to play it
anymore. I don't know how people do it. Like, I really, really don't. I do one night a week. Play Gwent for maybe 3 hours on the stream. And it's always a drinking stream. Like, we're always drinking. Fiance's with me. It is not about the Gwent at all. And then even after that, I'm like, okay. And especially, this is the first time I've ever been to pro rank. And even it might just trash MMR. It's like, it's just the same kind of things you're playing against over and over. And when I see people that do it like every day, I truly do admire the discipline of that, because it's something that it's like a craft, whether it's an instrument, whether it's you're playing a sport, and whether it's, you know, playing this game there, to do it to an audience is so much harder than just doing it on your own. So yeah, the people that stream all the time, because I mean, even you, don't you regularly go like 5, 6, 7 hours?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, it really depends, right? Like for me, streaming is all about having the interaction with the Twitch chat.
And, okay.
Like trying to entertain them or like having conversation with them.
Yeah.
So as long as if that is there, I can keep streaming. And okay, if I'm like tired or out of energy, I just stop the stream, because you know that's not a good thing to do, to overdo something when you already are at that point when you should just stop. So sometimes I'm just in that kind of flow, and then I can stream like 7-8 hours. But yeah, then at some point, I'm sure of it, then I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to take a break from streaming again. And then then I'm like, I can watch all these movies that I have kept on hold for so long because I streamed instead.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, and I feel bad for like the streamers and the creators. They can even be YouTubers that feel pressured. They're like, oh man, I have to do this, or I have to put this out. And I'm like, man, you don't got to put anything out unless you are charging people for your content.
Exactly.
Like, take a day off. Because like I said, yeah. I only schedule Saturday nights, because I know that's the one time it's gotten regular, got the regular viewers in there. It's time to really have fun in that sense. Because there were other times like, oh, I'm going to stream a little more. I'm going to try some during the day, or I'll do it at night. And it'll be like an hour before, and I'd be like, I have no desire to stream. Because like you said, it's not even not play Gwent or play a game. It's, you know, when there's cameras on, I want to be entertaining, and I want people to come for something different, because, you know, they're not ever going to come to my stream for high level gameplay. You know, there's a ton of other ones for that. I want to offer something unique. And like you said there, if I'm not feeling it, that's just going to be bad all around in that sense. So I guess, you would say that the chat is the main thing that kind of keeps you going in there in those longer streams.
Yeah exactly. Like I remember one stream where I streamed The Witcher, and I started a little bit later than usual. And I just, you know, we had so much fun. And then all of a sudden it was like 6 a.m. in the morning. I was like, oh God, I should probably go to sleep now.
Jeez.
I mean, I just casually enjoyed, you know, playing that game, had some beers, had some conversations with people, had some funny moments. Like there were even people making jokes about my streams because I took like forever in the same scene. There was like, dude, it's like 15 minutes later, you're still in the same scene. So it was just very casual atmosphere. And that's why I think I was able to stream for so long. I mean, sometimes it happens.
Yeah, that's what's really made it more fun to me, is when you get the regulars in and you come to that time and you stream, and then they come in and like, it's not even about like the viewers. It's really not. Like, I'm not trying to make partner, so you know, I don't care about it getting up to a certain aspect. It's all about the people in chat. And then, yeah, from doing it for months on months, you see those people coming in and you kind of create those weird, I mean, it's like friendships, you know, you don't even know what they look like. You don't know anything other, you know about them, but anything, you know, they've kind of told you about. And to me, like, that's what kind of makes it special. And I know when talking with people that don't understand like streaming, or wait, you watch people play a game? And or you play a game and people watch you play, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. And I'm like, but I can't think of too many people. I mean, maybe the people who have made it, you know, the people who make their living off of streaming and all that, but I don't think anybody plays it to play the game and then, oh, there might be some people doing it. I mean, it's about like the relationships and having fun with chat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's where where I'll, that's also the reason why I do it. As I said before, I mean, there was a moment in my streaming career that I really wanted to push for that partnership. I had like decent average. I mean, I was like 40 average viewers, which in my opinion is like, damn,
yeah,
that's a lot. But to get that partnership, you need like 100 or something.
I think 70, it's 70.
75?
I think
75,
it's...
75, right?
Is it 75? Yeah, something like that.
Must be 75. And so yeah. I was nearing that. But then again, I've known many people that stream and that many people that applied for partnership. And
yeah.
If they had 75 viewers, they just got denied. And then eventually they got accepted to it. It's it's really rough.
Yeah, the partnership seems kind of wonky, because you're right. There's been some people that apply and it's like months, and then some others apply and they hear back like in a month. So, I mean, I guess they have a lot of things going on, but I don't know. I just can't imagine, because it's the same thing too when people say, oh, what do you do for a living? And I mean, I teach and coach, but like, oh, you get to be around basketball. Or when I was a college coach, literally did not teach, just coached and had to do with coaching basketball. And like, oh, you're getting paid to do that. It's great. But it changes it when it becomes your job. Mm. And so I kind of always wondered that with streamers and how everything's great. Everything's great. And then once they get that partnership, it's almost becoming like they need to put out content, or like the YouTubers, how they need to do it every day. And I feel bad that some people think that way, because, you know, I try to let at least the creators and all that know, like, do what you want to do. The people who enjoy your content will be there. And the ones that don't, like, you know, screw them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in the end, if viewers are watching a stream because of you as a person, then that's only a bonus, you know? For example, I streamed this game, Creaks, it's called. It's like some kind of indie game with a lot of puzzles. And then I see when I'm streaming, like I see the follower count like going down. I was like, dude, why?
Yeah.
Can I not stream a different game for once? But then those people, they don't care that much about me as a person, but they just care about watching the game go on.
Yeah.
So yeah, in the end, I don't really care about it too much, because, you know, I want people to watch my stream for me and not for the game that I play.
Yeah, I try to do that whenever it's someone like a regular Gwent streamer and they're playing something else. I try to like jump in the chat and be like, oh, hey, you know, this looks fun, or, you know, playing something else, like to let them know, like, it's fine to play others and, you know, you don't have to worry about it. But again, I guess it is easier for people that are already partners, you know, for them to do that. So let's say with this, what do you think, or what do you say would be your greatest weakness?
I mean, we all know about that card Elias, right? What he says.
What is it?
It is, I clearly have a weakness for horned wenches.
Okay.
But like, and I mean, that's a joke, of course.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What I mean with that is basically that I have a certain weakness for the allures of the female. It's not that I let them walk over me or anything, or because that would be disastrous, of course, and I will always be in that friend zone. But what I'm trying to say is, like, I can fall in love very fast, and the danger of that is that you know, people can take advantage of me, and I have to make sure that I don't let go of what I want as well. So
why do you think you are that way?
Open.
Like, to me, I would say, and I'll let you elaborate, I was almost the opposite when that came back. I was very standoffish. You seem like you're very open. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so
I'm quite open.
Yeah. Okay, so why do you think that's the case, or how that came to be?
I mean, it's just experience, you know, you meet people and then sometimes you cannot really be yourself anymore. Like, they want to change you as a person. Like, and that's the thing. You always have to, or at least for me, like, I have to always make clear, like, hey, I want this to happen. Like, I want this. For example, if I'm gonna, like a couple of days ago, I was going to watch a movie with someone, and the person was not able to communicate with me because she had no earphones. I was like, yeah, I mean, I could watch with you and you could be like quiet and we could like chat. But I was like, yeah, but I also want to talk to you. Like, it's not just about the movie for me. It's also yeah. to be together and spend time together. And then, so I was like, okay, this is what I want. Like, and then I was like, okay, we can just arrange another day. And you know, after this podcast, I will watch a movie with her. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. So, yeah, because I would say I was like the opposite. I was like the opposite of what you said there, because I was like afraid of getting hurt. Like that was the only thing. And when I was younger, and a big thing to me was I was very religious when I was younger. And I was 20, probably 25, 26 when I had my, what I consider basically my breakup with like religion and God. So before that, it was always, if I you know, was going to date someone, it would have to be someone that was, I'd have to be married, or I'd marry, or I'd be with them long-term. So it kind of made, you know, dating in your 20s, your early to mid 20s, you know, that's supposed to be, you're not really that serious, and to go into that. So that's what kind of hurt me there. But then later on, the biggest thing that helped me was simply being myself and realizing if it's not going to work out, like it's not going to work out, but I have to be who I am. And if someone doesn't accept that, or if we're just not compatible, you know, it's not like I'm going to be a jerk about something and they have to do it. It's, you know, I'm going to be this, and then communication as well. And that's something that you have to have those growing pains in your early to mid 20s and do things wrong. You learn from them. Cause exactly, I wasn't, I mean, I was 28 when I met my current fiance. Now we've been together 8 years. And so, you know, there's so many people like your age and younger, they're like, oh, you know, it's trouble meeting people, doing all that. I'm like, shit, I was years away at that point. And all those failures and all that stuff, you know, made me into who that was there. And so, yeah, that's the only thing I can say is you just, I don't know, roll with the punches. And when things are bad, it's all bad in there. Then you just move on. There are other fish in the sea. That's the biggest thing too.
Yeah.
Have you ever had like a relationship that was like, cause you said that other one ended pretty well, right?
I mean, it went well, it ended well, but yeah. I mean, she did cheat on me. So, the thing is,
I don't know if that ended well. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you could say it did not end well, of course, but like, I already was at that point that I wanted to break up with her. So, and I actually saw because there was a distance relationship. So I wanted to break at some point, you know, she did not give me attention anymore. No affection. I got no affection from her. I was like, okay, you know, that's what I want when I look for a relationship with someone. And she used to give that to me. So everything was all right. But at some point, because of the distance, she was, you know, pretty distant. And I was like, no, I don't feel it anymore. I just don't like this. And then she was like, no, please stay with me. And then I'm like, okay, okay. So yeah. Exactly, like, right? I did not did what I wanted. I just did what she wanted.
Yeah.
So that's what I mentioned before.
Yeah.
And then, so we stayed together. And then a couple months later, she cheated on me with someone else. And in a way, I was like, you know, fuck off.
How long distance was it?
I mean, she lived in California, so that's really long distance.
Wow, that's that's not just across the pond. That's across the whole country as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't mind if it's like within Europe. You know, like you can travel very easily with train, with flight. With America, that was definitely something different. And you know, she visited quite often in Germany because she had family living there. So when she was in Europe, we usually saw each other. you know, we hanged out with each other, like in the Netherlands. We hanged out like in Amsterdam. We like rented the Airbnb, but also like in Bonn in Germany, we spent a lot of time there. But yeah, when she went back to America, eventually she was dating one of her exes, and I was already figuring it out. Like, it was not a surprise to me, but yeah, that's where when we both just decide, okay, you know, you go with him and then I go with someone else eventually.
Yeah, that just seems, I mean, that's 9-hour difference of yours to California. Mine's a 2-hour difference. You know, I'm in the middle of the country, and like a relationship that's long distance enough, like those 2 hours and I don't know, 1,000 miles or whatever it is, be tough enough. But yeah, intercontinental, a long distance relationship. Yeah. How long were y'all, how long did y'all have that going?
I think 1.5, 2 years.
Oh my God. Like, damn, I can't,
it's quite long, right?
Well, I just can't imagine just the long distance in general. I just can't imagine just how, and you know, you see that now with COVID of people who, yeah, they might not even, I mean, they might even be in the same city, but if they, you know, if they don't really get together or someone of them might have an issue, you know, the months of not being able to see someone and like actually like talk or even like touch in that sense, I don't know. That seems so hard to do.
I mean, it's more about the touching part, I suppose, because you have like what we are doing right now. We are conversating with each other.
Yeah.
With the technical technology that we are having. So like I, for example, I was, you know, Skyping a lot with her, and we send each other like love letters. So we send packages and gifts and such, but like once we actually met and we actually like, you know, experienced like real love, when she went back, that's when it becomes more difficult.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. It's not something that everyone, that I would advise to everyone, but on the other hand, you know, for love, there is no boundaries. So even if it's like a whole continent, you know, I always give it my best. And, you know, the thing is with love, like, especially like modern love, I would say, you also have your own lives. So if you are both okay with it, like she has her own life, I have my own life, I do my own thing, she does her own things. As long as you come back to together, you know, and you also experience your own memories and such, I think that then it's all good, even though you don't see each other every day of the
yeah, that's
for example.
That's the biggest thing too, when I see like some either relationships fail, or you know, at this case where I'm at my age, I've had friends who have been married for up to a decade, you know, they've got kids approaching that age, if not longer, and so much of it becomes like they don't have their own lives. And like that's something that I've been very fortunate to have, was like Lindsay, she has her own thing, and we will let each other know when we're doing something, but it's never like, hey, can I go do something? Oh no. She's like, hey, I'm gonna go play volleyball. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Or I'm going to go out of town. This is before COVID, obviously. You know, she was going out of town every 2 to 3 weeks, you know, 3 days up to a week at a time, you know, playing volleyball. And I know for a lot of people that would put a strain on it, 'cause it's like, oh, you're not here. But to us, I think that's what's made us compatible, was like, we do our own thing. And, you know, in that hell, she makes more money than me. Like, she has a lot more money than me. And that's the thing too. I see that too. People are just like, oh, the men is, you know, are they okay with the woman are they okay with the woman making more money? I'm like, Christ, it's not like the 50s or something like that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Women can have jobs and make more. Yeah, she makes more than me. I mean, like I said, I'm a public education teacher. Like, she better make more than me if she's not doing that.
Yeah, that's also, I mean, it's getting, people slowly get more open-minded about female having jobs and such. But yeah, there are still very old-fashioned people that would say, you know, the woman belongs at home and the man belongs to get the money in house and such. But I mean, yeah, slowly, but surely, everyone is changing towards the same ideology, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Texas, so yeah, that tradition is
Oh,
there.
yeah.
And we like, you know, we just
Texas,
got,
yeah.
yeah, we just got a house together, and like with the new neighbors and everybody, I've stopped correcting people. Like, we're engaged, we're not married yet, but everyone who even has known us has just assumed that we're married because we've been together for so long, or we're together buying a house, and like, oh yeah, your wife, oh, your husband. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even, I'm not even correcting anymore, just because it's, you know, it doesn't need to be corrected. But it's in that same sense there where, you know, I get, you know, we'll eventually get married, but like you said, you know, times have changed. You don't have to do this stuff anymore.
Exactly,
And it's
yeah.
progress, I think, for sure, in that sense. So what do you think? What is, like, I'd say success, or what's the key to happiness? What do you say?
I mean, I was thinking about that and success, like what defines like success. I think it's when you achieve something that you desired to achieve. It's not like fame, lots of money,
What if you
and
desire fame and lots of money, though?
I mean, then it's like success, you know? But like most
Yeah.
people would say when they talk about success, like, oh, fame, oh, money, oh, then I'm successful. But if you're not happy, then I wouldn't say you're being successful, even though other people would recognize you as being successful. It's like what, because you have to keep it to yourself, right? Like if you think you're doing something that you always wanted, then you're successful. But if you say, okay, like, you know, for example, I stream on Twitch and I get like 20 viewers watching me, have great conversation with them, have a lot of fun. I could say, okay, yeah, I'm being successful because that's what I want. But other people will be like, yeah, but you don't have a Twitch partner badge. You don't have hundreds of viewers
Didn't get
watching
any subs.
you.
Yeah.
You did not get any subs, not any
Yeah.
followers. Like, you're not successful. You're just
Yeah.
one of those small streamers that want to be successful. And I'm like, yeah, dude, that's not what I try to aim for. But so that's the thing, right? Keep it to yourself and if other people recognize you for doing something or achieving something, it's only a bonus, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's something. I don't know. I like asking this question just because nobody really ever answers it the same way. You know, it's generally going to be in their experience what it is. And that's kind of the thing too with success, of how much that changes. When you're
Yeah.
younger, you know, when you're younger, you're idealistic, and it's going to be, like you said, the sky's the limit. You're going to do this, you want to do this, you want to do all that. And then as you get older, it starts to get more grounded. And it's, I don't know. I wish more people would, I guess, appreciate, you know, what they had in that moment. And I'm that same way. And I've gotten there now. The last few years, I kind of haven't really done it, but I kind of realize now, yeah, you know, you can do your own thing. And you don't have to be like a world changer. You don't have to do all of this. Keep it in your own, you know, field there. And it kind of comes off that same way. So it sounds like you're kind of in that same boat.
Yeah, I am. Like, of course, like I have my own goals and such, and if I achieve those goals, then you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm being successful at that certain thing. Like, because that's the thing with success, right? You can be successful in many things or striving for success in many things. For example, you can be successful in like love life. If you like you, for example, you have your fiance and you're very happy together, so you're successful in your love life. But maybe you like you also mentioned or like before that you also wanted to buy a new house and such. So once you got your new house, then you could say, yeah, I'm happy now with the new house and I'm successful because I've achieved this house. You know, I got this house from my family. And so you have many, many different aspects when it comes to success, I would also say. It's not very, very easy to explain because it's like a very complex term.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the easiest thing is, of course, oh, you know, material things are not success, you know, at times, you know, maybe not buying things, but paying off bills and whatnot, that can be in that sense. So, yeah, people say money, like, oh, money can't buy you happiness. Like, well, It might not be able to buy you happiness, but it can solve some problems for some people. So yeah, that was something in that sense that I was curious to get your thoughts on. So man, I think, is there anything on your mind, any topics you want to talk about, any questions you got?
I know I did write some things down.
Yeah, we can do some
we have
this rapid fire.
I mean, not much. Like not much I could add. Like we talked about a lot.
Yeah, no, this
in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, this is what you know I'm trying to do, and so. You know, this is, I'm not sure what order things are going to come out, but, you know, what I love about this is everything should be different. And, you know, it's really getting, you know, an outlet for, you know, the guests and even myself to kind of, you know, talk about things that, you know, they normally really wouldn't talk about. And so,
yeah,
I hope everyone, you know, enjoyed it. I think it went great. And, you know, again, thank you very much for being here. You know, in the future, definitely have you back on. You know, certain things come about, anything you want to talk about, you know, shit, let me know. This is easy to do. We can get it going.
Yeah.
So last thing that I want kind of everybody to leave with and leave us and the listener with is some words of wisdom or, you know, parting advice or parting words in general. It doesn't have to be anything too deep. It can be anything and everything. So, you know, what's something out there you want to say to the listener?
Be happy with what you have. I mean, it's very easy thing to say, I suppose, but like it can always be worse, you know, and like you can always strive to want to more and like abroad that happiness that you have, but like sometimes especially during these times with the COVID going on, I would say, don't think too much about it. Like, for example, in my own situation, I kind of want to have my own place. I want to have a job again, but I can understand that with the current situation going on, it's not very easy. So I'm just accepting that. I'm just like, okay, you know, I have to be happy with it. And then eventually I will get there, you know? So be patient and, don't think too much about it. That's basically what I wanted to say.